Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
Our Old Testament reading this morning is from the book of Exodus, 8th chapter, starting with the 16th verse. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the earth, so that it may become gnats in all the land of Egypt." And they did so. Aaron stretched out his hand with his staff and struck the dust of the earth, and there were gnats on man and beast. All the dust of the earth became gnats in all the land of Egypt. The magicians tried by their secret arts to produce gnats, but they could not. So there were gnats on man and beast. Then the magicians said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." But Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Rise up early in the morning, and present yourself to Pharaoh as he goes out to the water, and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Or else, if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and your servants and your people and into your houses. And the houses of the Egyptians shall be filled with swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they stand. But on that day I will set apart the land of Goshen, where my people dwell, so that no swarms of flies shall be there, that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. Thus I will put a division between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall happen.' And the Lord did so. There came great swarms of flies into the house of Pharaoh and into his servants' houses. Throughout all the land of Egypt, the land was ruined by swarms of flies." This is the word of the Lord. Please read with me the Catechetical Review, the Book of Concord, Apology of the Augsburg Confession, Article 7, Repentance. "As I live, say the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from their ways and live. For since God swears that he does not desire the death of a sinner, God shows that he requires faith in that we believe him when he swears and are sure that he forgives us. He invites us to salvation with an offer and even an oath. When God says, 'As I live,' he wants to be believed. Oh, blessed are we for whose sake God swears an oath. Oh, most miserable are we if we do not believe the Lord even when he swears the oath." The epistle reading this morning is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, starting with the first verse. "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not associate with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. This is the word of the Lord.
Please stand.
Stand up.
This is the Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 11th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus was casting out a demon that was mute. When the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke and the people marveled. But some of them said, "He cast out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons," while others, to test him, kept seeking from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebul. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest, and finding none, it says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.' And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first." And as he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed." But he said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." This is the gospel of our Lord. We make confession of our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, out of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven, right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated, as I would invite the children to come down front and join me. Good morning. Hey, we got quite a crew here this morning. Come on down. Anybody know who this guy is? Black Panther. Yeah, Black Panther. He's got some superpowers, right? Anybody? No? Anybody know what? Anybody know what his superpowers are? Do you know? So he's got, well, if you look at him, he's got this special, like, skin, this armor. What's that?
Sharp claws.
Sharp claws, yeah, oh yeah. Well, yeah, you can see he's got some nasty looking, look at how big his hands are and how big those claws are, yeah. But he's got this special, like coating, this like, it's like an armor for him, you know, that came from the place where he's from. So anyway, yeah. Yeah. How about this guy? Anybody know who this is? I can't remember his name, but apparently he's one of the Eternals. Okay? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now look at him. This is kind of interesting. He's got some kind of armor plating on him. It's like a skirt or something, and looks like he's got stuff that he can do all kinds of stuff with. I don't know. So what do you guys think? Does he look pretty tough? Yeah, you think so? All right, now how about this guy?
Batman,
yeah. Now look at Batman. Batman has all kinds of stuff on him. Look at all of this stuff he's got on his arms. He's got something here on his leg. He's got a cape, so look at that. Right? Yeah. So Batman. So we got three guys here. Who do you think... In a fight, which one of these guys would be the which one of these three would you think would win? That's a hard one. Somebody said Black Panther. Some say Batman and all that kind of stuff. All right. You know what? With all the superpowers that these guys have and everything, and we see this in the movies and all that, you know the one thing that they can't do for you? They can't forgive your sins. They can't forgive your sins. And last time I checked, I don't know if any of these are really able to, I don't think they can really rise from the dead. I don't think they're capable of doing that. No. And I don't think any of them died on a cross like Jesus did. And in order, he did that to forgive you of your sins. These are like strong men. You know, they're really strong and they have all these superpowers, but they cannot save you, and they didn't die on the cross for your sins. That's how much Jesus loves you, that he did that for you, and he accomplished that on his cross, dying for you and rising again so that you would have forgiveness of sins, and because of him, then you have eternal life in him. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks this morning for all of the things that you accomplished for us, and especially for dying on the cross for our sins. Now, O Lord, help us to remember that as we are reminded of our baptisms, where there in our baptisms you drowned all of our sins in those waters. Help us to live for you, and help us to be ever thankful that you did this for us. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
In the name of Jesus, amen. In the late 1930s and early 40s, on the cliffs overlooking the English Channel, vast fortifications had been built near places like Normandy, France, and other towns along the coastline. These fortifications included huge cannons and artillery batteries. And over a few years, some of these areas were even refortified. Twisted iron beach obstacles that were known as hedgehogs were placed in the waters there on the coastline that would make amphibian landings difficult. The reasons for these builds of concrete and iron were to ward off any invasion, even a thought of an invasion from the Allies. Hitler and his generals believed that this area was impenetrable. There was no way that someone would be foolish enough to send an army in there to attack right at the mouth of the lion. Well, from our history, we know that they did attack, and this was the spearhead of the invasion of Europe in World War II, which eventually led to the defeat of Nazi Germany. The powerful Reich and the seemingly unstoppable Hitler were overrun and beaten. In the gospel for today, Jesus speaks here of a strong man who is well fortified, cannot be overrun or beaten. He trusts in his fortifications and his armor until the stronger one than he comes, Jesus, overpowers him and sends him away beaten and defeated. The enemy, the devil, he is sent away and he has no power or authority over us. And we have been filled with the Holy Spirit in our baptisms. In the baptismal rite, as a matter of fact, we renounce the devil and all his works and ways. He is powerless. He was cast out, sent away, and now you and I are occupied by the Holy Spirit and fall under the care and protection of our dear Savior, the shepherd of our souls. Filled with the Holy Spirit, we're forgiven our sins. We live a life of repentance that sends us back to our baptism, reminding us that the enemy has been defeated and cannot harm or take up occupation in our lives. Christ has overcome sin, death, and the devil for you and for me. But there's another problem here in the text. The Pharisees accuse Jesus of being the father of demons. Beelzebul. This is absurd because he pointed out to his accusers that a house divided against itself cannot stand. This makes no sense because an army wouldn't fight against itself. Jesus tells them that it is by the finger of God that he cast out these demons. Surely they would understand, wouldn't they? The words he just used would surely make them see the scriptures where he had referred to Moses performing these signs in Egypt by the finger of God, the plague of the gnats and flies, what we find in our Old Testament reading for today. Yet the Pharisees, like Pharaoh, they hardened their hearts against the word, against Jesus, and are filled with unbelief. And they accuse him here of being the Lord of the flies, the Lord of the dung heap. These words they spoke against him were words of treason and blasphemy against the holy God. They are now in jeopardy of salvation as they continue to resist the Holy Spirit, believing that Jesus is the Messiah, the one who was to come. Stubborn and resistant, they don't repent. And then Jesus ends this exchange with these words. He says, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." As I said earlier, you and I are filled with his Spirit. We were gifted with this in our baptism. Let us not doubt that this is the case, for this is the promise of God that is attached to that sacrament. But we also need to be clear that in our baptismal life, you and I fall under attack constantly. The devil would like to overrun and destroy us. He would like to even reclaim his territory that was once his. He's constantly looking for weaknesses in armor, in our baptismal fortifications. He He would like nothing than to see us walk away from faith. He looks for weaknesses such as these, such as neglecting God's word, despising his sacrament, allowing other pursuits, other gods to take the place of trusting in the one true God in all things, not assembling with other believers where you are assured of God's promises for you, that you hear once again that you have been forgiven your sins, you've been absolved of your sins, gladly hearing God's word and keeping it. Other things like thinking that you're good, the way you're living, the choices you make, your sin, that everything is just okay as it is. That God doesn't really hear your prayers or care about you and the suffering that you're going through. And soon enough, we can begin to think and doubt as the Pharisees, is he really who he says he is? If he were, he'd give you a sign. He'd make your suffering go away. He wouldn't allow you to have the difficulties in life that you do. Rather, he'd be the kind of God that you expected him to be. And this is where we wind up. We can fall from grace believing all these lies of the enemy. Then he's occupying space again. And we've created strongholds of our own where we want to resist and push God away. We want him to have only parts of us, but not all of us. Dear saints, it's vital for you and I today that we remain steadfast in God's word, that we stay in Bible study, we hear the word of God rightfully preached to us in our ears, that we continue to clearly see our need for the Savior, that we keep watch, we stay vigilant. Our culture is changing at breakneck speed and not for the better. Turn on the news. We can be filled with fear and anxiety. Most of the time, even if something is reported that seems to be good, even that is spun and tainted with worldview and sinful anti-God cultural influence. Even well-meaning pundits and talking heads can convince us that our intellect is what's going to save us. Being able to reason and make sense of everything. We should all love one another, tolerate ungodliness, and just get along. This is the Antichrist narrative that is so prevalent in our world. And besides, who wants to be labeled as a hater? Because those who believe the word of God to be the rule and norm of our lives in the world are the ones who are said to be crazy and intolerant. And before you know it, there's the opening that was created in our defenses. Our own sinful sloth and laziness is what can motivate us. This battle that we're waging doesn't end there. And it's even, we find this in the church that we struggle. Here it seems that the enemy is having a heyday. There are so many out there, so-called prophets, who would like to convince us that God speaks to us outside of his holy word, that he gives you and I special insight, visions from heaven, and so on. That word and sacrament aren't enough. There needs to be more. And some may even say, well, who has time for Bible study and prayer? Just tell me what I need to live a better life. I've got other things to do. Hear the words of God, which says this: if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? With God's power, with his Holy Spirit, his word, you and I are empowered to stay in the battle. Armed with the sword, his word, we bear up and stand under constant attacks and assaults of the enemy. This is not because of something you and I do, but it's because of what he has done and accomplished for us. He is our strength and shield. Again, Paul reminds us of this, that he says, the devil is like a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. When we are baptized, Christ comes in and clears out all the garbage, the clutter, all the sin. The strong man is defeated and sent away with his tail between his legs. This void that is created is filled by the Holy Spirit. And the devil has been overrun. He's been cast out. He wanders, seeking refuge. And when he finds none, he will return from whence he came, scriptures tell us. And if he finds the house empty, he brings more spirits with him to dwell there. Dear saints, this is not the case with us. For we abide in his word. We remind God of his promises, living out our baptism. And the devil has no power and authority over us. He is defeated. Our bodies are now temples of the Holy Spirit. The strong man was defeated by the one who is stronger and mightier than him, Jesus Christ our Lord. I think from time to time we would all like to throw in the towel. God knows that we're weak and that we struggle. The one who came and lived in a human body like you and I knew temptation, yet was without sin. Living in this sinful world and all its temptations, attractions, afflictions, diseases, suffering, and death is difficult. It's hard. To be sure, we will continue to struggle and face all sorts of trials because of sin. But take heart, because Jesus died for you. He took upon himself all your weakness, all your fears, your doubts, and bury them in his death, so that you can rise to new life as he did, rising in your baptism from a life that was dead to sin to a life that is now alive in Christ Jesus. And when you struggle with doubts and fears, repent, knowing that you are forgiven. Dear saints, we are blessed because we hear God's word and keep it. Jesus cast out this strong man by defeating him in the worst way possible, by defeating sin and death. And it just didn't end there at the cross because he rose again and lives. He continues to bring down the strongholds and cast down the prince of darkness everywhere. This spiritual warfare in which we live will not end until the day that Christ returns or we go to be with him in our death. Dear saints, your victory has been won. The strong man is defeated. And someday soon he will be cast into the lake of fire with all his minions, destroyed once for all, when you and I on that day will know sin no more. Because Christ is risen from the dead, so you are alive in him. You are now living in that risen life in your baptism. In the name of Jesus, amen.